Get started with Sunday school. This is our 20th lesson in Sunday school on creation. I'm not sure if every class knows this. We were talking about this last week. We're going to go through 23 lessons in creation, and then starting on March 12th, we're actually going to begin the book of Esther. And so if you want to start reading that book and just kind of in anticipation of how we will be teaching that, you feel free to do that. But that's going to start, Lord willing, on March 12th. So here we are, week 20 of creation. Take your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to talk about the Bible truth about fossils. We've kind of made it through the flood and all the way probably, depending on which Sunday school class you're in. Like I said, there's three different classes here today. You've probably made it through Genesis chapter 9. And so we're going to talk about fossils today. And what we're going to do over the next, and between now and we get done over the next 3 or 4 weeks, is we're going to kind of do some topical teaching lessons. This week will be about fossils, and we have a topic next week, and then next week, and then we'll be done with the series. If you, this is a guarantee, if you sit up straight, pay attention, listen really good, you will all get your junior paleontologist merit badge at the end of this lesson. It should be one of those, and I'm going to try real hard without a PowerPoint or without a really cool video to explain the biblical truth about fossils. So if you have your Bibles, let's just look at Genesis chapter 6. Let's read a couple of verses in chapter 6 and chapter 7, and then we'll get started. Genesis chapter 6, let's look at verse 7. And verse 7 says, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Now drop down to Genesis 6, look at verse number 17. Verse number 17 says, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." Let's look at one more verse. I think you can see a theme going on between those two. Genesis chapter 7, verse number 4. Genesis chapter 7, verse number 4. It says, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." So I think we can see a theme in the scripture choice this morning of God's repenting of man's relationship with him, and the fact that the consequence of that is going to be total destruction. We've looked at that for several weeks, and so now let's kind of talk about the result of that destruction, which would be what we can see today in the fossil record. And so what are fossils, and why are they important? Let's start at the very again. We're trying to get the junior merit badge, we're not trying to get a doctorate in geology or paleontology. We just want the junior level. We always kind of want some walking around knowledge, but we want some Bible knowledge about fossils. So if you don't know what fossils are, maybe you've forgotten. Fossils are the remains or the traces or the imprints of plants and animals that have been preserved in the earth's near surface rock layers at some time in the past. And boy, I can remember the first time I found a fossil. And it was a little rock with a little swirl in it, about that big. And in my mind, our yard was going to turn into an Indiana Jones size dig site. And I was going to be famous. And I really thought I had something. And I'll just never. And the result of that, I remember we lived out in the country. So we were drilling a well to build a house. And when you drill a well, all kinds of rocks come up. And then the rocks wash through your yard. And then when you're a little child and you're playing in the yard, you find these rocks. And man, oh man, I found that imprint of a plant or an animal, just like this definition says. So in other words, fossils are the remains of dead animals and plants. We don't have to be too scientific about that. And they've been buried in the sedimentary layers, and they've been hardened into rock layers. And it's amazing, though. You talk to a scientist. I worked with a lot of scientists, geologists. You talk to them. You read what they're saying. And they say, and this is incorrect, but they say that fossils, and I don't want to stand up here and say, I'm a construction worker, all right? We're not smarter in book sense than these doctors have committed their lives to that. But what we have is faith in the Word of God. And because I have faith in the Word of God, I have confidence in the Word of God. So I don't want you to think, well, this guy, what does he know? It's not, I have confidence in my faith in the Word of God. So therefore, I'm going to challenge them when they incorrectly say that fossils are the record of life of the geologic past. I say, fossils are the record of death. That's what fossils are. They're not the record of life of the geologic past. They're the record of death. And when you look at fossils, and when you understand that there's one thing that is absolutely certain when we find animals and plants fossilized together. First of all, they didn't necessarily live together. Okay, just because you see fossils together doesn't mean they live together in the same environment or even die together in the same environment. But here's what it does mean. They were buried together in the same environment. And that's a huge difference. Okay? It is not the record of life. It's the record of death. So when you see a fossil, it's a preserved death of an animal or a plant. So we, first of all, we're coming at this. And listen, this isn't religion versus science. Okay? That's not what an argument about fossils are. We have, as Bible-believing Christians, pre-assumed assumptions, like I just mentioned one. The Word of God is true. It is a record of creation and so forth. They have pre-assumed assumptions also from their end. So that's what this is. It's a misunderstanding of each other's assumptions. It is not a battle of religion versus science. So let's make sure we understand that. Because like I said, I believe that fossils are a record of death. They tell us fossils are a record of life. We just come at it from two different ways. But let's keep on talking about this, because sadly there are many animals and plants that we see in these fossils that are extinct. And we only know that they once existed because of the fossils. An obvious example of that would be dinosaurs. In fact, we're going to talk all about post-flood dinosaurs next week, if you like to be interested in that kind of stuff. But that's you know, and there are distinctive levels in the fossil record where vast numbers of animals or plants are believed to have become extinct. And everyone agrees with this who is a scientist. They all agree, evolutionists claim that all these animals and plants died and were buried and become extinct all at the same time. We believe that. They believe that. That is a universal conclusion when you look at these fossil records. Now, since this pattern is seen worldwide, all around the globe, scientists call these distinctive levels in the fossil records mass extinctions. And so what they've done is they've looked all around the world, and they've looked at rock faces, and they've looked at geology, and they disagree about this, but they say that because of these levels of fossils in different layers of rock throughout the world called mass extinctions. They disagree about this, but they say there's somewhere between 8 and 17 mass extinction events that had to have happened for this to be explained. Okay, that's what they say. And because of the distance between these in the rock layers, they calculate those to be millions of years, and they give really fancy names, and I'm not going to list them for you, but you are smart, and you've heard of some of them. Jurassic, that's a period that at the end of the Jurassic era, there was a mass extinction event. Cretaceous, that's 65 million years ago, according to science. At the end of the Cretaceous period, that's when all the dinosaurs died. And they all say that these mass extinction events were just before the dawn of human writing. That's what they all say. That's what they all claim. The number of events varies between schools of thought, of course. But they call these mass extinction events. So they say there's 8. I disagree. I can read the Word of God, and I can say there are not 8 mass, and you know these, you know, comets and Cupids and Donards and things hitting the earth and you know all you know what they're talking about with these mass extinction events. Well, let me just tell you what the Bible says about these layers. First layer we have is called Creation Week. Okay? And we've studied that immensely. You can go back and listen to those lessons if you want to know more about Creation Week. But that would be one layer on the surface of the earth, was when God spoke it into existence. That layer is called Creation Week. And then we have, and you're familiar in my class, we have the post-fall, pre-flood living. Okay, and post-fall, that means now sin is introduced. Because by the way, let me just say this. There are no fossils in Eden's rocks. Okay, there are no fossils in Eden's rocks. Okay, there was no death. They were vegetarian. We've studied all this and taught all this extensively. So there's no fossils in Eden's rocks. But the post-fall, pre-flood, there was life and death. Okay, so we understand that. Then there was flood waters being introduced. That's another layer. Because we've talked about the flood and we've talked about how that happened. And then there's flood waters assuaging. That's another layer. Something comes in. You've been to the beach. You've seen the waters come up. And you're like, oh, my toes are gone. And then the waters go down. And you go, oh, there's my toes. It's just like that, except global. Okay? So that's another layer. And then you have post-flood world. So those would be a reasonable, Bible-based explanation to these events that they call mass extinction events. Now, also keep in mind that there are very, very few fossils that have been formed since the flood. Okay, just the environment of the earth that we've talked about post-flood, with the exception of some localized, residual, catastrophic deposition of sediment events like earthquakes or some tsunamis, there has been very, 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 very little of the fossil record that has been preserved since the flood. So, but Christian geologists, we don't claim that all fossils were made. I don't say we. I'm not in that camp. They don't claim all fossils were made during the flood, but the vast majority of them were. There are fossils that have been recognized after the flood. A perfect example would be like if an event like Mount St. Helens takes place, or something's encapsulated like in Vesuvius in AD 79. There's been some fossilization localized in those. So let's just make sure that we understand that. Now, here's the problem with geologists and scientists and evolutionists. They think that fossilization under present day conditions, which is rare, they say the present is the key to the past. So they look at the only thing they can look at, which are observations they can make now, and say in today's present conditions, if we have those fossils, it would have to have taken millions of years. That's where they come up with that. We cannot do that. We can't, because we know the world was completely different pre-fall. We know the world was completely different pre-flood. And we know what we see now is how the result of post-flood. So we, because again, faith in the Word of God, can see these and accept these changes, whereas most people in the scientific world, they don't have weather balloons from 1,000 years ago to tell you about atmospheric conditions. They just can take today's observations and apply it to what they're finding. So that's a big hang-up. Now let's kind of talk about the fossil record. So the first fossils in the fossil record, when I say the first ones, I'm talking about the deepest fossils in the fossil record would be that of marine animals. And I don't think there would be anyone in the sound of my voice that would be shocked by that. Marine animals are what we find, and marine plants as well, are what we find at the very bottom of the fossil record. And of course, we've looked at this where it says the fountains of the deep broke apart. And so we understand, flannel graph does not capture the violence of the flood. There's cute flannel graphs we have in Sunday school that we use. And the kids, and archy-archy, and good songs. But they don't capture the violence of the earth and the seafloor breaking apart. And this, we've got to remember, this event happened for almost a year, breaking apart and shifting in the lava. And and you understand, when lava meets water and steam and the generation of off gases, and it made the environment in the water not habitable. Okay, so that's why the plants and the marine animals died first. And so that's why we see that. And in a global watery cataclysm, there would be simultaneously wholesale destruction of plants and animals. It's happening all over the world at the same time. It's this, again, it's this tearing apart. It's so violent that continents are shifting and mountains are forming. And you're like, well, we don't observe that today. Well, you don't observe God treating mankind like that today either. Of course you don't observe that today. This is the Lord's earth, and he will do with it as he pleases. And at that time, for that reason, he was able to move continents, or not able like he's not able now, but he chose to move continents with the breaking open of the seafloor. And again, that's just what the Bible says. And that's why we have this volcanic lava on this continental scale, if you will. And the result is, now get this. Also, remember, they say there's 8 to 17 geologic events. I've given you some explanation to why there's different layers. But on top of those explanations, think about this. Every time a continental-sized volcanic explosion happens and the Earth's crust rips open, do you not think there's waves of destruction that take place on land for over a year? And that's another reason why we have these layers in the fossil record. So we have to understand, we have nothing to... I mean, we look at this earthquake that I mentioned last week in Turkey and Syria. We've seen volcanoes. There's a volcano. I mean, if you've been to Hawaii or you've seen Hawaii's volcanoes and you've seen lava flows, we can kind of... The Lord allows us snapshots of what it must have been like. But it was... orders of magnitude greater in destruction during the flood than anything we can see now. And we have to believe that in order for this to make sense. And trust me, I do believe it. But these waves of destruction are thus easily misinterpreted as mass extinction events because we don't see that now. And so that's why they come up with what they come up. They were just stages of a single year-long catastrophic global flood. That is the biblical view. It's also significant that some of these fossilized animals and plants once thought to be extinct. You know, they see these. I'll just give you two examples. There's lots more. They find these fossils, and they're like, and one of them is pretty famous, I guess you could say, but the coelacanth. The coelacanth is a fish, and they found this fossil of the coelacanth, and they say this fish was extinct 65 million years ago, except like they just found one the other day. You know, I was like, where's that been hiding? Like, so even their record of what's extinct and what's not extinct, the same thing happened to the Wollemi pine tree, W-O-L-L-E-M-I, if you want to read about it. The Wollemi pine tree, it's been fossilized, its leaves, and they're like, this thing has been gone. This tree has been extinct for 150 million years, except in 1994, a guy cut one down. So, I mean, it's you know, they're almost cool, but like stuff like that happens all the time. So again, the fossil record is just something that we get bombarded with, that we need to understand what the Word of God says about these things. Now, this comes up a lot, and so let's think this through. If God destroyed the earth by the flood, and we read three verses where he mentioned total destruction of man, and we hear teaching and preaching all the time that the population around the time of the flood was similar than that of today. We hear that all the time. Why is there no evidence of humans or life, like, you know, like tools in the fossil record? You know, that's a common argument that people have. I mean, if there was 8 billion people that died during the flood, where's the evidence of that besides your Bible? Well, I mean, okay, so that sounds, you're like, ooh, Ooh, well, that's not actually, I mean, that's actually one thing that Christian scientists and evolution scientists can agree on. There is not a record. There's not a record of a bone. They don't bring up a bone and say this was this whole, like in Western states, you can see a whole herd of, this is what they say. They say all these bones right here are all from woolly mammoths, and they all got wiped out at the same time. How come you don't see bones of humans that were congregated together and were wiped out at the same time? How come you don't see that? Okay, well, I mean, there's actually an answer, and we're going to talk about that, why that is. But let's get some ideas here, because when we do talk about fossils and we talk about the fossil record, our brains and what we're being, imagine this, what we're being told is not exactly the truth. Okay, I want us to understand that. Most people don't realize in terms of numbers what fossils exist in the world and what's been discovered. Out of all the fossils that have ever been found, even the one that I found as a young lad paleontologist at 8 years old, 95% of every fossil found, I want you to understand this, 95% of the fossil record consists of shallow marine organisms such as coral and shellfish. 95% of every fossil you've ever seen in every museum and movie, 95%. So that leaves 5% that could be something else besides a marine animal, right? Besides coral, besides shellfish. So of that 5%, 95% of that 5% is algae and tree fossils and invertebrates like insects. So that's 95% of the remaining 5% is algae, trees, and insects. So now we're down to 5% of 5%. If Ezekiel is here, he could tell you what that is. I Googled what 5% of 5% is. It's 0.25%, right? I mean, we didn't really need math for that. But 0.25% of all fossils found ever in the history of fossilizing is mammals, vertebrates, fish, amphibians, reptiles, birds, mammals. 0.25% of every fossil found. Okay, so first of all, that's a very, very small number. And let me just say this. Comparatively speaking, there are very, very, very few amphibians and reptiles and birds and mammal fossils, but there's so much talk made about them, about dinosaurs and all that, and the skeletons of the world museums. In fact, if you take all the bones of a dinosaur on display in public and in university museums around the world, there's 2,100 exhibits. That's not very much. And let me just tell you about that. Those aren't complete skeletons. That, my friend, is Hollywood magic. Okay? There are countless of examples where you go to this museum and you see this skeleton of like a horse kind. Now, if you knew the truth, this would blow your mind. The truth is, out of all those bones displayed, the only bone they found was the tooth. It's well documented. Everything else is fiction of what? What they see now applied to what they think happened then. There's only been one Stegosaurus skull found in the history of the world. But every museum has a Stegosaurus. They might have found something else that plugs in, but you got to understand, whole animals being found is extremely rare. They're lying to you. Right. They're lying to us. You walk in and you see this, and you're like, man, how did they find that? They didn't. They didn't find it. Right. And it doesn't say anywhere on the plaque. I'm not even allowed to go to museums anymore. Because I just go there and I read everything and they're like, come on. And I'm just like, because it doesn't say that. But that's the truth. That's the absolute truth about how things are. That you can look at these fossils and it's a single bone. And again, most of the time, especially with there's several examples of these horse species representations in museums where the only specimen's a tooth. That's very, very, very common. And that's just crazy. But we're talking about humans. Okay, so another factor to consider is the different mobility of these humans, right? And other land dwelling animals. For instance, we know the Bible account of the flood. It rained, it poured for 40 days and 40 nighties. It rained, it poured 40 days, 40 nighties. We understand that. The oceans are breaking up. Humans and other mobile animals were encouraged to go up to higher ground because they're smart. And so what we don't see is this mass wave of sediment burying mobile animals. It's not in the fossil record, because they were encouraged to leave where it's about to get muddy. So what happens is, in the very first wave of the global event called the flood, humans and mobile animals were not part of that death. In fact, no one knows. The Bible doesn't say. Noah didn't hear. I'm sure it was haunting if he could. But humans probably survived for the first week to 10 days. But they all moved to higher ground. So they weren't included in that early rush of the floodwaters and the waves of destruction causing sediment in the fossil record. So we have to keep that in mind. But what was? Coral, shellfish, barnacles, plants, all those are present in those early fossil record formations, but not humans. And when the flood began to rise, floodwaters would have encouraged, again, mobile animals to go preferentially away from the flood onto higher ground. Thus, they're being swept away by the flood. Again, it happened weeks after. In fact, that's why you do see, in the United States is a great example. They always talk about this inland sea in the United States. And they talk about in the Rocky Mountains were high. And then they have these herds of mammoths. And they do have one or two bones that represent maybe a herd of mammoths. But it's because they moved there when the floodwaters were coming in. And that was their last stand for life. And that's where they died. Okay? It's the same thing that happened to humans. So, would all the people, because we know there's about 6 billion people, still be alive when the floodwaters came, so they're alive, would they be buried and preserved when the floodwaters covered them? Well, I'm not going to give you facts, but if you've ever seen a local flood and a human body caught in a local flood, floodwaters, even in local rivers, are very turbulent. And with debris and the violence of the water, bodies were ripped apart. Okay? And then you have this. So we have flood water. The conditions where human bodies were probably, they were probably thrown around. They would be destroyed. They would be agitated. There's abrasion. We can't be like, well, I don't believe in erosion. Hey, you're weird. That happened to human bodies. And another thing is the bodies that were buried, and this we see with all animals, not just humans. Remember what I said. There's volcanic eruptions taking place below and above water. There's toxic gases. Boy, that's a common phrase now. There's these toxic gases that are mixed in with the sediment. And what we find in a lot, not we, look at me, what they find in a lot of fossil sites are the soil types mixed in with the gases that was preserved in it, decay bones. Okay? So that's why, and mammal bones are different. I mean, you've done the experiment, and I know chickens aren't mammals, but even vertebrates, chickens, you've done the experiment where you've taken the chicken bone and you put it in a little ammonia or you put in a little vinegar, and the next thing you know, you got a rubber. Have you ever done that? Surely. Go home, Google it. Take a chicken bone, put it in some vinegar, put it overnight. You can bend that sucker like a rubber band. And then you're like, well, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about when he says that when things are buried with chemicals that they dissolve. You just did that in your kitchen. and I don't have a PhD. So that's the reason. But to me, there's another reason why you don't find human bones, and that's Genesis chapter 6, verse number 7. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 17, and Genesis chapter 7, verse 4. The Lord had a point to this flood. The point was, I'm going to destroy mankind. Now, he also says in each one of those verses that he's also going to destroy animals, and he's also going to destroy everything that liveth, and I understand that. But what we have to understand also is the context of Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, and Genesis chapter 3. We are more special to God than those things. And even though he lumped us and them together in a verse, he could have very easily said, I want to destroy these things, like he said, but mean destroy evidence of mankind. It's very possible. We don't know, and I would not be surprised, because we are his special creation. And according to Genesis chapter 6 in the first couple of verses, man forgot God. So that's why we don't see evidence of man in the fossil record, because he would destroy them from the face of the earth, and those, all those other reasons. And of course, Scripture, again, yes, God does mention the other animals, but I do believe in our special relationship. And I've said this to our class. I'm going to say this to the other classes, since they're in here and since I'm the one standing up here. I really think, especially those with children, that you should be very careful when you compare your children's actions to animals. It's cute. It's convenient. This is a pig pen. This is a pig. Your room. Oh, you're like a bunch of monkeys. Now listen, we are special. And the more that we ingrain that language that we're just like animals into our vocabulary, especially with our children, we're doing a disservice to our uniqueness in the eyes of God. So if you, as a parent, or as someone who speaks to children or speaks to humans, can say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I choose not to lump our behavior with animals because I know we're different. God will honor that. I'm just telling you, because we are special. That was free, not even in the notes. So most of the fossil record is a record of death. That's the takeaway. I hope you have a takeaway every Sunday in Sunday school. Here's the takeaway for today. It's a record of death. It's not a record of how they lived. It's not a record that lived together. It's not even really a record of how they died. It's a record of how they were buried. So it is a record of death, as in where they died. But it's a record of death. It's the burial of animals and plants, mostly during the flood, as described in the biblical account that we find in Genesis chapter 7 and Genesis chapter 8. It is not the order of living succession that suffered the occasional mass extinction. That is not what it is. And this is how Christians should view the fossil record. Now let me just say this. This is amazing. If you pay attention, you have kids in school, the year 2023, and we're dealing with teachers who are, I'm so thankful, because I, three more months, I have no, and it's my choice to have kids in school, but in 3 months, I don't have to worry about it anymore. They're going to be gone. They're done with school. But we have teachers who want to choose to teach things that we don't agree with, right? I mean, you hear it every day on the news. Every day on the news, you hear about parents and they're dealing with these things that teachers are teaching, and parents should have rights. We hear about all that. Now, 100 years ago, in fact, in 1925, this exact same thing happened. And you know what I'm talking about, because we're talking about creation. We're talking about the Scopes monkey trial. We're talking about a teacher named Scopes who admittedly said, I don't know if I taught evolution or not, to be honest with you, but they need a defendant and it will be me. And I'm not trying to apologize for him or defend him. But the thing is the people who were against evolution, fundamentalists, said, listen, this thinking is not American. That's what they said. They said, this thinking, this type of teaching is not American, and parents should be able to send their children to school and trust that what they're teaching lines up with what they hear at home and what they hear at church. 100 years ago, it was a trifecta. It was a triangulation. Church reinforced home, which reinforced school, which reinforced church, and that's how it was. And it was not American to think like that. I think you know the results. Scopes got fined $100, which is like $1,500 in today's world. And for 32 years, that line of teaching went away. Very similar to what we're dealing with now. But I said 32 years. I want you to understand this, because right now they teach this stuff. They teach the fossil record. They teach the 65 million years. What happened? You know what happened if you've paid attention to Christianity and world events. If you've read any book about it, if you heard anyone talk about it, this is not original to me. But what happened, obviously, is Sputnik, 1957. The Russians beat us to space. Our response as a nation was, we have to beef up science. So for 32 years, people like us, fundamentalists, said, believe the Bible, believe the Bible, have faith in the Bible. And they said, we just got beat to space. So we're going to throw out the Bible and we're going to hammer down and double down on our scientific teaching. And so they reintroduce all these concepts back in the late 50s and early 60s, when a lot of you were in school. But if you were in school 10 years earlier, you would have heard this in science. But now, because we got beat to space, you hear this trash, this nonsense. So then it goes on and evolves into, well, what's our response? What should Christians do? Well, Christians then say, well, we can fight fire with fire. We don't need to. We have faith in the Word of God. And in the 1970s, that's when creationists and creation science, you've heard of that term, creation science took off in the 1970s as a response to evolutionary science. And so what happens is creation science is not a replacement for faith. It is not a substitute for the Word of God. It is just saying, listen, we have the Word of God. We don't need anything else, but look at all this stuff that also lines up with the Word of God that refutes what you're saying. And so when we see stuff like that, listen, oh, I love it when science is on God's side, which it always is. It just got to follow the money to get the right answer. But it always is on God's side. But I love it when they make it public that it's on God's side. But we don't need Christian science. And I'm not against creationists. I'm not against. Listen, the Word of God, in the last 3 or 4 weeks with the flood, explained everything in detail, what I just talked about today. I think if whatever Sunday school class you're in, you can agree with that. That we've talked about the flood. We understand these events. We understand all this. It's not mass extinction events. You need to take the observations now and plug it in to make it work. And that's where you come up with millions of years. It's wrong. But listen, we're getting bombarded every single day. Every day. And when people, like if you work in a medical field or like I work, in, like I said, in construction, but we have engineers and we have geologists. And when they hear, oh, you think that? What are you getting that off of? A book? And I'm like, well, where did you get your facts off of? A book? You know, I mean, okay, so we both have facts. My facts came from one book. Your facts came from another book. I have faith in my book. You had to pay for your book and then pay for your education, and now you have debt or your daddy bought it, and I still have my book. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. But we have to take a stand. Do not let this thinking and this don't just let it pass. I mean, I don't think you should seek out people and, you know, hold a sign. What do you think about the world? And then attack them. I don't think you should do that. But it's coming. These arguments are increasing as the medical engineering increases, as worldwide events are going to start happening more and more. Like with World War Chris is creepy. No, listen, we already have worldwide increase in temperature, according to some. Okay, so we're not that far off from other worldwide events that people are going to talk about. They're going to start talking about earthquakes happening more, and we just need to say, this is what the Bible says. this is what I believe. I mean, you can always go to the end of chapter 8. You can, and I said this before, you can always say, listen, they're like, where do you get your faith? Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. I'm locked in. I believe that. 100%. Don't need science for that. I have faith. I hope that helps you understand a biblical understanding of fossils. If not, your Sunday school teachers can mess with that next week. And with that, let's get ready for Big People Church.